For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Well, glory to God. Once again, as we come around the Word of God, we are blessed and honoured that God has put into our hands His Word. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You. I ask, Lord, that You use me for Your glory to preach the Word of God in faithfulness and accuracy, and that the people hear and people who hear this Word will have the right response, Lord, in You, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. This morning we're looking at the danger of ignoring God's words, or we could say the danger of not hearing God. And this will be part one, because there is a lot in this, and it will be, of course, related to a lot of what we've been looking at and discussing over the last few weeks and even months. Glory to God. You know, there's a lot of vain activities going on, even in churches. And if you look right through the Old Testament, you see that the people of God have been involved in vanity, but the Lord has constantly sent His word and requires a response to that word. And there have been mixed responses. Some have heard it, such as in the book of Haggai, you see the word comes and there's a response and they hear it and they attend to the building of God's house. But there's others that don't hear it, such as in Zechariah chapter 7, which we'll get to look at either in this part or the next part. And so we see right through the scriptures there's a mixed response, and there are dangers attached to ignoring God's words when they come to you. There's some very specific and very clear dangers attached to that. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 15. We'll start off with this. And we see that this particular section of scripture is very relevant for today's churches, and I believe right across the earth today there is the word going forth, which is that men and women, believers, must respond to God's reproof, and when the word of God comes there has to be a turning away from error, from going into wrong things, from following wrong traditions, from following and believing wrong doctrines and things like that, into taking the Word of God as it stands and believing that. Let's start from verse 1 of Matthew 15, and we'll be reading right down to verse 14. Starting from verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" So we see there is a set of competing words here. There's the tradition of the elders, and Jesus talks about the commandment of God. Now, there is good tradition and there is bad tradition. The Bible talks about receiving that good tradition. And tradition, of course, is a particular way of doing things, but if that way of doing things contradicts, as Jesus pointed out here, transgresses or contradicts or goes against the commandment of God or the word of God, then that tradition, of course, should be discarded, should be thrown out, should be disregarded and taken away. So Jesus is pointing to them that they have traditions or tradition which goes against the commandment of God. And I think that we need to really be very clear on this. There are people who are doing things traditionally, even those in modernist churches that may even think that they're not traditional in inverted commas, yet they have a particular way of doing things which transgress the word of God, and so it becomes their tradition or their way to do that. And one thing that comes to mind is, for example, the amplification of music over and above the word of God. Well, that becomes a tradition because really you should be able to have a service with or without music. And that sounds funny to some people's ears, but historically there's been there's some church groups that have had services without any instruments, for example, or without any music, or without any singing. We have to understand that you can never have in the church the neglect or the omission of the word of God, but you can have other things which you might think are absolutely vital, but certainly you can never have the word of God left out, or as Jesus says here, the commandment of God. Verse 3, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honour thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, now here's the big thing, isn't it? God commands, God says, for God commanded, saying, and verse 5 says, but ye say. So there's those competing words that we're coming up against. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoureth not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. In other words, they can buy themselves out of not honouring their father or mother. So we see here that there were particular ways and inventions of men that started to interfere with the word of God, with the commandments of God. Has it changed today? As I mentioned before, no, it hasn't. There are now things getting in the way of the word of God, even in many of today's churches. And the warning is going out, hey, you need to put the word of God in the right place, and that is that it has to be amplified, it has to be given free course, it has to be brought up into the right position in the church so that the Lord Jesus Christ can be exalted, and so that the Lord Jesus Christ, who in fact is called the Word as one of his main titles, is exalted in his proper place. And we see, of course, that traditions and the sayings of men can get in the way of that. So the Lord is telling us quite clearly here that we can't have those things getting in the way, because if they get in the way, we're going to have that danger of judgment coming in, and people are going to find that things are not going to go the way they think they're going to go. So let's continue on. We see here, as we've been looking, verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So we see it's a heart problem. It comes down to a heart problem. What are you exalting? What are you putting in the place of the Word of God or allowing to be a barrier to the Word of God. Now, God wants people to turn at his reproof, because he'll give a reproof. He'll say, hey, that needs to be dealt with. Because if you don't deal with it and you don't put my word in the right place, you're going to be coming into a category of being a hypocrite or being a person who is external. Okay, just doing things for the sake of formality, rather than in your heart saying, I want to do it for the glory of God, and I want to honour God, I want to fear the Lord, choose the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, and is going to lead me into greater wisdom and greater knowledge, and so on. Just keep your finger in Matthew 15 there, and go across to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. And this shows the position that the word of the Lord must have in the church and in our lives personally. I'm finding more and more that there is arising in my heart the great desire to get the message out that the word of God for the church globally must be of great preeminence for it to have free course anywhere in the society, in cities, in nations, and so on. And notice what he says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be what? Glorified, even as it is with you. So see there, Paul is saying, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. How can something have free course if there's barriers in the way, such as wrong thinking, wrong traditions, wrong beliefs? How can that the word of the Lord have free course? The word of the Lord, as it says there, must be glorified. It must be exalted and brought up and magnified. And by doing that, we are magnifying the Lord himself. And it says, and be magnified even as it is with you. So he knew with the Thessalonians that he was able to freely speak the word, and they glorified the word, they held it in its right position and esteemed it, and they were able to increase and go forward. If you have a look across down to verse 6 of that same chapter, you can see that there is a tradition that's right. And that's what I said before. Verse 6 says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which ye received of us. So there is a correct tradition, but that correct tradition must be as according to verse 1, where the word of the Lord has free course and where it's glorified. And it was glorified in these people, and they were able to receive the correct tradition, the correct way. Okay? So we can't be like some people say, tradition, that's something we can just discard completely. No, not at all. No, there is correct tradition, correct ways of doing things, so that you don't walk disorderly. And that correct tradition is something that's going to be received properly, in line with the word of God. Now go back to Matthew 15, and look at verse 7 onwards from Matthew 15. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoureth me with their lips, that's called lip service, but their heart is far from me. And as I said before, we need in our heart to make the right choices. One of the right choices is to choose the fear of the Lord. To choose the fear of the Lord. And we'll look at that in more detail as we go through this. So this people held on to wrong traditions, that is, wrong ways of doing things. And as far as God was concerned, they were walking disorderly or out of the way of his word. They were contradicting God's commandments through their traditions. So they had this wrong way of thinking, wrong way of doing things, and their heart was far from the Lord. Verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So notice that their worship became vain. And so you can have people who might be attending what seems to be wonderful services, but because their heart is far from the Lord in terms of they're not glorifying the word of God. That's how your heart can be far from the Lord. You're not glorifying the word of God. You're not putting it in its right place. And by doing that, you can have vain worship. Think about that, vain worship. All right, so there's a lot of people who are not glorifying the word of God in their life. They don't receive proper tradition. And so they have vain worship. And not only that, is they're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And once again, there's correct doctrine, there's good doctrine, and there's bad doctrine. All right? Let's have a look at, you know, where does good doctrine come from? Keep your finger in Matthew 15 again and go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Now, we know this scripture. We've been going through this a number of times. 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about good doctrine or doctrine coming from a good source. And it says here, you're keeping your finger in Matthew 15, we're coming back to that in a minute. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it comes from the heart of God. Okay? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants his people to be doing good works, but they have to be thoroughly furnished through the scriptures. Okay, they have to be strengthened and brought up in having correct doctrine. Now, if you leave out those type of things, notice it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, and then it goes through a list. Let's just take the doctrine part. If you leave out the word of God, let's say it's not glorified in your midst, it's not glorified in your heart, then your doctrine is also going to go astray. It's not going to be profitable for you for doctrine. Okay? But if the word of the Lord is glorified in the midst of a church or in the midst of individuals, then you would expect that the doctrine is not going to be wrong or bad either. There's going to be good doctrine. Now, what's the danger of having bad doctrines? Well, if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, oh, sorry, Ephesians 4. And in Ephesians 4, once again, we've read this one many times as well. Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's the problem if you're ignoring God's words in your life? If you're not glorifying the word of God, you're not going to have that profitability for good doctrine. You're going to be susceptible to what verse 14 talks about, being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You'll be easily deceived. You'll come into the deception area. It's a huge danger. So going back to Matthew 15, verse 9, it says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, the commandments of men in the place of the Lord's commandments is not a good thing. The commandments of men in line with the Lord's commandments is a good thing. And we know that there are doctrines that can be vain and can cause all types of vain worship and vain approaching to the Lord. Verse 10. "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand." These are two really important words. Hear, understand. Now, if you hear just with your physical ears, that's not sufficient, is it? Because what is that doing? You're hearing sounds. You're hearing sounds, but you've got to have in your heart an understanding heart. What happens if you have a heart far from the Lord, as these people had? What happens if you had a heart far from the Lord? Well, you're going to get into vanity. You're going to get into that deception. You're not going to be profiting in the Lord through his word. You're going to have wrong doctrine. You're going to get into wrong tradition, and so on. So, verse 10, "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." So, it's not just what you do, you know, physically in terms of, oh, we'll eat this or eat that, that'll defile me. He's talking about the heart here. But what's coming out of you? Is it just rubbish coming out? Is it things of unbelief? That's going to defile you. That's going to cause things to go wrong. There's a great danger in this. Verse 12, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." This is a very, very big problem, that if you stay under ministry, in inverted commas, of the blind, what happens? You'll be led into blindness and into greater darkness, and eventually you'll fall into the ditch. So we see that there is planting always going on. Planting is always going on. Words are seeds. The word of God is a seed, and it's being sent out to be planted and then to water those seeds that have been planted. And it's important for us to see this, that if it's not the good plants that are coming in to people's hearts and being nurtured properly in people's hearts, because it's the good ground hearts, not the hearts that are far from the Lord, that are going to produce the good fruit. It's the good ground hearts that God is wanting to plant his good seed, his incorruptible seed, into. But notice, it's every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So what's the plant, what's the seed that God, the heavenly Father, is wanting to plant? The good seed of the word, isn't it? That's what we've been referring to. The good seed of the word coming. In the parable of the sower, it is very good to illustrate the different types of grounds that people can have in their heart. But we have to be people that, okay, there'll be people who will be offended by what we're saying, even offended by what I'm saying. You know, when I say, oh, the word of God should be glorified, oh, you're worshipping the Bible. No, I'm quoting the scripture. The word of God should be glorified. And so the word of God should be exalted in people's lives. Obviously, that the Lord himself be exalted. There's many accusations, many offences. People have been very offended with me at times when I've spoken the word to them. In fact, one of the, I guess, most frustrating things that a minister has is when the word of God is presented and yet people reject it. It is sometimes very frustrating. And yet, you know, sometimes I've thought, well, is it me? Perhaps I wasn't gentle enough in the way I presented it or said it. Perhaps I said it in the wrong way. But, you know, thinking back on that and looking at other things, you know, related to all this, I realise that it comes down to the heart attitude. You know, you can say something, and I know the way I've approached it, I've never tried to approach it in a nasty way, but I always try to approach it as in, this is what God wants you to know, what is the right thing, and so on. Whole gamut of topics. It comes down to, it always comes down to, are people's hearts open to receive? Are they glorifying the word of God enough that they can receive the proper things to be able to come in? Or are they willing to remain blind? Are they willing to remain blind? So have a look at Isaiah 55, and we'll look at verses 6 to 13 in Isaiah 55. I want us to go through this section of scripture because it shows in Isaiah 55 the nature of the word of God and what it will do if we receive it properly. Now, the Heavenly Father is wanting to plant good seeds so that there be good plants. And if there's good plants right across the body of Christ, you can imagine that that's going to grow. It's going to be great increase of good things, and good fruit will come out of that. And ultimately, we are called to go and teach all nations. So Isaiah 55, we'll start from verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So, you know, seek ye the Lord is a crucial principle. As long as you seek the Lord, you'll prosper, you'll go ahead. Whatever justification you may have, leave him out and don't seek him. Don't try to find out or seek his will about things and so on. Leave him out. There's going to be problems associated with that. But God is giving a very specific direction here forsake your way, forsake your own way, go my way, he's saying. Forsake your thoughts. That's an important thing to understand. Thoughts do have significance. If you just allow yourself to think wrongly all the time, that's going to crowd out correct thinking. What does the Bible say? Casting down imaginations. So if you have wrong thinking coming in, oh, that's, yeah, a little white lie doesn't matter. And, you know, you start to grow and that type of thing, etc., etc. You get the wrong thinking about things. Well, God says you need to forsake that. You need to forsake wrong thoughts, cast them down and so on. And return to the Lord, and God will have mercy and he'll abundantly pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So who's he talking to there? Obviously the wicked, the unrighteous man. Okay, so if you're not wicked, you're one of those who are in the category of believers and righteous, then you should have the thoughts of God. What does the Bible say? We have the mind of Christ. Okay, so we should have the right thoughts in our hearts, in our minds. But he's speaking specifically to those who need to get their ways and their thoughts corrected. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, so we need to get God's ways. We need to get God's thoughts. Okay, we see that very clearly in Romans 12 verse 2, where it talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, if your mind is being renewed to know the will of God, well, that's knowing God's ways, that's knowing God's thoughts, isn't it? Verse 10 says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So what's the word compared to? Verse 10 says it's compared to rain, compared to water. Watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. In other words, it's going to cause there to be increase of seed, increase of bread. It's referring to that increase that comes. Now, if the word comes into your heart, but then it's not watered, that is, you might say, well, I heard 20 years ago that scripture. Well, is that the approach? I don't need to hear it anymore. I've heard that. I've had people say about the healing area, oh, I've heard that. I heard that preacher say it and blah, blah, blah. And no, God wants that seed to be planted and then to be watered. To be watered. And so it's important for us to see that if the seed is planted and watered, there's going to be an increase. There's going to be an increase because you're putting the word in its right place, into good ground heart. You're glorifying it. You're making sure that it's there, and you're allowing it to be watered and allowing the word of God to continually nurture that and cause it to grow. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. In other words, God's word has power. God's word is powerful, it's alive, it's quick, and powerful. God's word has power. It shall accomplish. It shall accomplish. It shall prosper. What's it talking about? It. It's the word, isn't it? It shall accomplish. It shall prosper. So, putting it into your heart, it's going to cause, it shall accomplish, it shall prosper. Verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands instead of the thorn. So you don't want thorns in your life. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You want to glorify the Lord in your life? Get the word into your heart. Well, even before then, acknowledge that the word is power and seed, and glorify it. Get it into your heart. Get that, as Jesus said, hear and understand. Get that understanding, and it will cause the proper traditions to come into your life, and the proper doctrines to come into your life, and you'll find that there'll be that blessing and that budding, and that the name of the Lord is glorified in your life as well. Well, I've touched on some things, and there's much more to touch on. I'm looking at my sermon notes here, and I see that there's a lot of scriptures I haven't even looked at yet. So there'll be definitely a part two to this, and we'll continue this in that next part. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We glorify your word in this church. We glorify it in our lives. And Father, I pray that the word of God will go forth as a bright light, as a bright light in our lives and in this and through this church, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, as we go forward, as we go out, that, Lord, we be people of the word, of your word, and that, Lord, people will see that we are not people of compromise, the people of standard, that have the right way of thinking, the right way of doing. Help us in that, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your prosperity in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. And we glorify you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank